Good to see you all. It was Happy Easter last week. I just want to, if you feel that you've got a call of God on your life, I want you to raise your hands. Right, okay. Yes, but there's people that you sense the Lord, that ministry is your thing. Maybe you've been avoiding it and discounting yourself. If you can stand, I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you see your people, Lord God, the people that you are calling, Father, to serve in your kingdom and in your vineyard. Lord, may you give them the confidence to know, Lord God, that it is you. It is not just their feelings, Lord God. They have a sense of destiny and calling on their lives. Father, may they walk, Lord God, in this journey that you are laying out for them. Give them courage, Lord God. Let them be strong and very courageous. Strong and very courageous. May they lean on your word like never before. And know, Lord God, that you are not finished with them. That, Lord, you do things in your own timing. And Father, I pray that they might recognize that the things of God are activated and received by faith. May they activate the promises of God on their lives. Let them not be afraid, Lord God, to pray out, to cry out to you, Lord God, to bring to your remembrance the things that you've said over them, that they might walk in the purpose and destiny that you've set out for them. And Lord, they would fulfill the plans and purposes of God for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. I want to bring you some encouragement this morning. If I can just, let me just see if I can find this scripture. No, Corinthians, yes. This is in Colossians chapter 4. This is when Paul was right. It was near the end of his book. And he says here in verse number 16 of Colossians chapter 4, after you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them. Now, this is for those of you that feel that the Lord has called you to ministry. This is the word for you here. And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. There is an undertaking that you are going to be responsible. You are not going to just sit back and expect things just to come to you. You are now going to begin to do business with the Lord so that you will do and fulfill the ministry that who what? God gave you. Amen? So step into that and not be afraid. One of the things I would, you know, for those that have this desire for ministry, if I can give any strong encouragement this morning, is this. Make sure that you are sowing. The disciplines of Christian life is prayer and fasting, so that when he elevates you, you are ready. So when he elevates you, you're not sort of like, you know, sometimes I say to the worship team, don't start from the beginning, just right from the top, eh? So that you are right at the ready to do what the Lord wants you to do with your life. And you have to see yourself as a minister. Don't wait until somebody says, now you're a minister. See yourself, carry yourself as that, so that when you walk into any space, you're walking and saying, hey, Lord, I know that you're with me. If somebody's sick, I'm going to pray and they're going to be healed. If there's an issue, I'm going to trust on the wisdom of the Lord for my life. Amen? So we're continuing on the culture of honor. How do we build a culture of honor in a society that does not really like honor? In a society where everything is geared towards dishonor, is geared towards disobeying of parents, telling parents, get stuffed. I know that I'm a parent, and so there are times where I have to say to those that, you know, I'm over, hey, that's TV talk. The stuff that they hear on the TV, you don't repeat that here. Some of the behaviors that people are watching on YouTube and on TV that they encourage, you know, dishonor of parents. Back in the old school, we couldn't do that because they knew, they only knew how one way to treat that kind of nonsense. Oh, man, hey. I recall a time when my grandmother beat me so bad. That's probably bordering on abuse, but she hit me with a hose pipe. And so she beat me so hard, you know, and then it was bad. It was really bad. But those maybe she was taking out her personal frustrations on me, I don't know. But that's not the kind of discipline I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that we were taught, you know, which was bad in some cases, that children should be seen and not heard. Did they say that here in Australia? Yeah, that's what we were told. Children should be seen and not heard. But now, look, we encourage dialogue with our children. We know that that was just to shut them up. But that can sometimes become a hard attitude where you are now never able to do anything because you are so shy and you quiver whenever you are around people of authority. But what we are trying to do is to build a culture of honor in our families where everybody has got a responsibility that they need to fulfill. Amen? So, my focus today as we're continuing this building a culture of honor is about us having honor as a posture of our hearts. Honor as a posture of our heart. We recall a prophet's reward. When you honor a prophet because they're sent by God, you receive the reward they carry, their blessing, revelation, breakthrough, or anointing. It's not about honoring their personality. It's about honoring God's assignment on their life. Because when you honor, it unlocks what they carry. Now, we all understand honor because most of us probably use a tax, an accountant to do your tax return. And so you honor the anointing of the tax legislation that they know over their lives. And so if they tell you you're getting a return of 2,000, you don't say, no, that's too much money. You say, thank you, because you honor the gift that is upon their lives. So we all know some level of honor in our lives. Without honor, you miss the blessing God intended to flow through that person. So you will only receive from someone to the degree that you honor them. Without honor, the blessing, the flow of blessing stops. Now, if you're a child here, which we all are, try dishonoring your parents or your mother or your father and see where, how far that's going to get you. There will be no presence coming your way. Because you see, when you sow dishonor, nobody's just going to give you stuff when you don't honor them and respect them. There's absolutely no way. Try do that at work. Tell your boss, get stuffed. There's a deadline you're supposed to meet. You're like, yeah, whatever. And then when it comes promotion or it comes to a pay raise or a bonus, you expect. There's no way that's going to happen. Understand, this is why it says Jesus could not do anything in his hometown because they did not honor the gift of who Jesus was. That's why he said he could only do a few things, heal a few sicknesses, and that was it. Whereas the lady with the issue of blood, she recognized that Jesus was a healer. And what happened to her? Healing flowed from Jesus towards her. And she was completely what? She was completely healed. Jairus recognized that there was something about Jesus. And so he went to him and said, hey, Lord, please, my daughter is sick. Could you please come and heal her? When she died on the way there, the Lord said, just continue to believe. And look what happened. The daughter was raised from the dead. So there is a reward that we get when we have honor in our lives. You see, what we believe helps to determine how we behave. If we have a right relationship with God, will have a right relationship to the people who are a part of our lives. So in 1 John 4 verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates or works against his Christian brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is why that scripture where the Lord says that, hey, if you get to the altar and you remember that you had an issue with someone, leave your gift at the what? At the altar and go and sort it out. This is why sometimes our offering is not accepted by the Lord, because we are harboring a lot of issues with people in our lives. Sometimes the things that the Lord asks us to do, where he says, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, give them your left cheek also to smack. I know that in our own strength, we can't do that, because we have this proclivity or a propensity for revenge. You smack me, I want to smack you back. If your child comes back from school and says, mom, or dad, little Peter at school smacked me on the cheek. My first response is, did you smack him back? Because then I'll feel a bit better, you know, that she also got a licking, or they got a, you know, they also had a smack. But the thing is to encourage, to say, not necessarily say to a young child, give them the other cheek, no. But really just to say, oh, that's very sad that Miss Little Peter did that to you. But for my life, I have a proclivity for revenge. You come against me, there is a part of Adam that is still present in my life that I want to rise up and make sure that I get my lick in, I get my revenge in. But that's the old Adam died, and what is risen is the life of Christ in me. So what I need to do is to suppress the old Adam, the old me that was buried in the waters of baptism, and allow the new life of Christ in me to rise up. Amen? The person who claims to love God must also show love for others. Love is the way, is meant to be the way that God is seen, the way that we love other people. So if I love God, invariably or automatically, I'm just going to show love to all other people, even those that have done me wrong. I know that it's a difficult concept to try and grasp, because we tend to get in our feelings a lot of the time. But when we are under the kingdom of God, there is another way of operating. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, it says, then some Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples violate the tradition handed down by the elders? For your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat. Now, this is not necessarily saying they were poor hygiene. Ceremonially, they had to do some things to make sure that, you know, their hands were clean. For God said, and this is Christ's response. He replied to them, why also do you violate the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of or insults or treats improperly father or mother is to be put to death. The issue that Christ had with the Pharisees was this. He says, you say, if anyone says to his father or mother, whatever money or resource that I have that would help you is already dedicated and given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother by helping them with their need. So, by this you have invalidated the word of God, which means you've deprived it of force and authority, and you have made it of no effect for the sake of your tradition. He goes on to call them, you hypocrites, you pretenders. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. The scenario goes, so here you're talking about parents, you need to help them out. And you say, no, I've got my offering that's ready to be given at church. So I'm sorry, mom and dad, I cannot help you. And what the Lord is saying, but now you're violating the commandment that was given that honor, care for, look after, value your parents. So he says, these traditions that you have set are now working against what the word of God says. That should not be the case. This is why, let's say you are one of you is saved. You've got a wife that is saved and the husband that is not saved. And the wife says, I want to follow the word of the Lord and to bring my tithe to church. The husband says, no, there's no way we're giving to the church. Now, I wonder, we would all be saying, well, to hell with the husband. Wife, bring your tithe to the church. But wisdom would tell us that she would need to go and do business with the Lord and say, Lord, you know my heart wants to tithe, but my partner, he don't want to tithe. So can you deal with him? Because then you are honoring the who? The husband. You are honoring that. Now, this is why, you see, we don't want to get caught up in our feelings. Because we are trusting the counsel of God is what should dictate how we live our lives. Not how we feel or what our emotions dictate to us. Romans 8 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists governmental authority resists the ordinance of God. And then he talks about if you do bad, then of course the government or the civil authorities will be on your case. But it goes on to tell us that these authorities are God's servant to you for our good. And then towards the end of verse 6 and 7, it says, look, for this same reason you pay taxes, for civil authorities are God's servants devoting themselves to governance. Then verse 7, pay to all what is due. Tax to whom tax is due. Customs to whom customs. Respect to whom respect. And honor to whom honor is due. If we want to see things move in our lives, we have to get to a point where we understand that there is order in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be governed by my feelings about how I feel. I am governed by the order that the Lord has set in his kingdom. So as we read these scriptures, we recognize that there is a call to honor for all of us, a call to honor our parents. Exodus 20 says, honor your, which is respect, obey, care for your father and your mother, so your days may be long, may be prolonged in the land your God gives you. Justine and the girl, how was the Gold Coast? You enjoyed yourself? Go on any rides? Well done. We're glad that you're back nice and safe and that you enjoyed yourselves. Civil authorities are appointed by who? By God. Already the Lord knows what's happening on May the 3rd. Now maybe if you read the polls, you'll know perhaps there's an indication of what's going to happen. But that means that whoever wins, the Lord is the one who has done what? Who's placed them there. So that means that if we honor them, we honor him who appointed them. The way we act towards authority really shows whether we have a fear of the Lord. There's a call to honor those at work. We honor our bosses, those that are, in authority over us. It's very important. It says, urge bond servants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be pleasing and not talk back, not stealing things regardless of value. but proving themselves trustworthy, so that in every respect they will adorn and do credit to the teaching of God our Savior. Which means it should never be said of me that, our stationery cupboard always used to be full, but ever since Stephen Magwenzi came to work, there's not been a lot of pens and notebooks have been missing. Because what that will do is that it will nullify the message that I'm speaking with my mouth. My behavior, if I'm stealing at work, pens, they're not worth much. But if I keep, each day I take a pen and a pencil, after a while, the cupboard is going to start running a bit empty. The point is that our conduct at work, we as children of God should be the hardest workers. Excuse me. We should be the hardest workers. Business should improve because we as Christians are there. We are not the ones where just because we're there, we lax off and we talk bad about our boss. Oh, they're useless. They don't pay me much, so I'm only going to put in 20%. Wives, there's a call to honor. It says, wives, respect your husbands. Those are not my words. I'll put that qualification out there. They're not my words. So I'm like, yes, respect your husbands. Treat them with respect and all of that. And then we think it ends there, but no, it doesn't. It says, husbands, love your wives. As Christ what? And did what? So that means that there needs to be a lot of men that we need to die a lot. We need to constantly be dying. So that, because that's what Christ did. It says that he gave himself up for what? For her. I tell you, it's a hard thing to do. Because I also want to get my licking, I also want to get my, I'm telling you, there's Adam that the Lord put to death. But there are times where he wants to rise. But we have to put Adam, he's got to go down. So I have to love my wives. We are called to be gentle towards them. Then he talks about fathers. Love your children, speak nicely to them. Don't show favoritism, such and so on and so forth. And then, of course, it just doesn't leave it there. It says, children, obey your parents. Because it is the right thing to what? To do. In Colossians 3, verse 18, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector. So a lot of this has got to do with order, not domination. This is why when they said that the wife is side by side, not one in front of the other. So they are equally what? Important. Because it says male and female, he created what? Them. So they are equal before God. But what happens is that there's an order of how things are, because it's a covering. It's a covering. It's a protection. That is why it says, the husband is the head of the wife. Now, remember I said that they're equal, but the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the what? The church. It's a covering thing. It's a protection thing. This is what we have to recognize. That, and I wonder how our lives would change if we begin to approach. Remember that example I gave you about the tithing? She would be like, yes, I got to give to the Lord. Maybe she won't be using such a deep voice like that. But she'd be like, I got to give to the Lord, But then she goes and says, hey, and honors the husband. I know that you're not saved, so you got no idea. But because, the husband is against it, you go and do business with God and say, Lord, my heart is pure, but this authority that you have placed over me is the problem. So you deal with him and not me. And I wonder whether there would be peace in our homes when all of a sudden people start to feel more respected. Commensurately, we as husbands have to do a better job of loving our wives. What Christ did was just absolutely amazing. He gave himself up for the what? For his church, because he loved the church. And he did it sacrificially. This is why I'm saying that there has to be a death that occurs. He gave himself up for the church. So he says, wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives with affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them. That's common. But anyway, children, obey your parents. So everybody has been covered in this issue of honor. Children, obey your parents as God's representative in all things. Attitude, for this attitude of respect and obedience is well pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessings. Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children. Servants, which is us at work, hey, don't steal the pens. Obey those who are your masters on earth, not only with external service as those who are merely pleasing people, but with what? Sincerity of heart, because of your fear of the Lord. So the level of honor that I have in my life is going to be commensurate to the fear of the Lord that I have. If I fear the Lord, then I will honor, because I know that I'm doing it to honor who? Him. And I'm working, when I'm working at work, I'm doing it for the Lord. On Friday was a wonderful day, was Anzac Day. This is honor in action. And I drove for the dawn service. And hey, you know, it's always good to go to these things. I know I wasn't born here. So this is my adopted country. So I wasn't born here. So you want to partake in the culture of of Rome. I'm in Rome. And so I want to partake of that culture. But I also recognize that I've lived in this country more than I've lived in Zimbabwe. So for me, this is my home. And the day I'm not going to be buried, it's a new secret. If I die, or when I die, not if, I'm not going to be buried in Zimbabwe, because this is my home. I had to come to a realization that, hey, and you got to understand is that I used to pay for a repatriation insurance so that when I die, they take my body back to Zimbabwe. And I'm like, no, that's absolutely nonsense. One, I'm wasting my money. But on the other hand, I've lived more in this country. And so I went for the Anzac Day thing, woke up early, checked the time, it was 5-something. I said, it starts at 5:45. And so I drove all the way to Monument Hill in Fremantle. And as I was driving, I saw, as I was reaching, there were lots of people, and they were, the families, kids, young kids, they were all walking together, and everybody, because it was a bit chilly, so everybody's in those onesies or whatever, those things to keep themselves warm. Young kids, girls, boys, mother, father, old, young, they were all there. And I remember saying to myself, this country will always win, because these people have an understanding of what honor is. And I said, there's no way this country will ever go backwards, because there's just that thing that's been ingrained at a young age about honoring those people that went to war and fought for the freedoms, I guess, for this country. And we are living in a very good country, one of the best in the world. There's only two good countries in this world: Zimbabwe and Australia. there's only two. I don't know about the others, but please hear me when I say this, and I say it with, not because I'm trying to curry favor, I say it because I mean it. We are in a good place. Let's not take for granted where the Lord has positioned us. And let's take on the mantle that God has positioned us as His church to lead people to Him, so that the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdom of our what? Of our God. I think we need to do another Bible study. But as I saw this, I wondered that, man, there are many times we call out, it's a prayer, you know, but we don't get as a lot of people that come to prayer. And I'm like, why? Why is that the case? Now, I understand, of course, you've got shifts and all of that. But because we esteem and we value the Lord Jesus Christ and God, we will move whatever we can to make sure that we are in the place of prayer in the house of God, praying for our families, interceding for our families, so that everybody can go have an opportunity to hear the word of God. My father said this when we talk about honor in the workplace. He talked about, he said, look, when your boss is not at work, that's the opportunity for you to work harder. He says, if you have to dig 10 meters, but your boss is not there, make sure that by the time they come back, you have dug 20 meters. Always go above and beyond. Always go above and beyond. This is the call. This is how we show honor and respect to the ones that have given us an opportunity to look after our families. We don't always take the up as an opportunity to like, oh, my boss is terrible, is this. And it's quite easy to do that. Our actions speak louder than our words. And so remember that scripture says that there's the fear of the Lord involved in honor. The fear of the Lord in honor doesn't mean being scared of God like you would be of a dangerous animal or somebody that's aggressive or abusive. It's a reverence, it's an awe and a deep respect for who God is, His holiness, His power, authority, love, and justice. It's an awareness that God sees everything, He's supreme, and our lives are accountable to Him. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. Wisdom starts when we acknowledge God's place as God and our place as His creation under His rule. So if we are here in the land of Australia, we are governed by the Constitution. Australia's got its rules of how we, you know, how we operate and how we do stuff. The same thing with the kingdom of God. It's got its rules. And so we need to be able to follow the counsel of God and not be governed by our emotions or our feelings. The fear of the Lord shapes how we live by we seek to please Him rather than just ourselves. And here I'm talking about the obstacle to honor. We honor His order, His ways, and His appointed authorities even when it's hard. We trust Him enough to obey even when we don't fully understand. And so how does the lack of the fear of the Lord obstruct honor? If someone doesn't fear God, they will only honor when it suits them. They will view authority, which is parents, leaders, elders, pastors, through a human lens. Do I like them? Nah, I don't like them. Do I agree with them? Not really. Instead of through God's lens. God, you placed them in my life for a reason. So I'm going to do what? I am going to honor them. You see, when I don't have the fear of God in my life, honor becomes conditional. It is based on my feelings. It's based on this principle of fairness. Are they not being fair, so no honor for them. Or self-interest. And so without the fear of the Lord, honor feels optional and not sacred. So I may not honor somebody because I just don't like them. Don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they talk. They can get stuffed. So I'm not giving them the honor that is due to them. All we're talking about here is that imagine what our households and our families would be like if we followed the way that the Lord has asked us to follow. If children obey their parents, if husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for them. Imagine if we live like that. Imagine if wives respect their husbands. Imagine what our families would look like. Imagine what our communities would look like. There would be no need to put a sign in the train that says for the, those two seats as soon as you get in. There'd be no need for the sign because it's going to be automatic. That's what we do. I mean, I was flabbergasted last week, Monday, when I got into a train and these two kids were with their mom and they sat and the mother was there standing. And I'm like, man, if it was in the old school, something would have happened. You know, because it's just like, oh my goodness, don't these kids get it? Now, I'm not having a go at kids here, please, by the way. I'm just saying that imagine what our homes would look like. The flavor of our families would change because we are following the order that the Lord has set for our lives. Another obstacle to honor is self-preservation because it obstructs honor. It's when protecting myself, my pride, my reputation, my comfort, my advantage becomes my top priority. Now, I ain't going to love my wife, you know, like the Lord says. I'm going to do it my way. Or I'm not going to do that in reverse. Hey, my parents can get stuffed. That's their flipping problem. Or my boss. He doesn't pay me enough for all the work that I do. I work extra hard. He never notices it. So he can get stuff too. So when self is at the center, submission and honor feel like threats. Instead of honoring authority or others, I protect my opinions, my rights, my desires. One of the reasons why self-preservation is dangerous is because it resists the call for humility, service, and surrender because it fears losing control or looking weak. So you cannot live a life of honor if your first instinct is to defend yourself. So the fear of the Lord aligns us to God's authority and order, making honor a response to Him and not to people's worthiness. Lack of fear of the Lord causes us to treat honor casually based on personal feelings. Self-preservation keeps us self-focused instead of God-focused, making it hard to genuinely honor others, especially when it costs us something. And one of the things that it will really cost us is our pride, because I want to get some revenge going. So imagine I'll give you an example. Imagine a soldier standing before a king. If the soldier truly fears the king in a reverent way, he will salute and obey, even if he doesn't fully understand the command, even if the king is not his favorite person. His honor isn't based on whether he personally likes the king. It's based on respect for the king's position. Once we understand that the order that God has set, it will bring so much fruit in our lives. We will get so many rewards because we honor people, not because of, you know, what we, you know, our personal feelings, but because God is the one that has set order in place. We would benefit greatly from that. Now, if the soldier is ruled by self-preservation, obeying the king feels risky and uncomfortable, he hesitates to do it. I'm not going to do it because he's trying to protect himself. If he thinks he knows better, how many, you know, some of, you know, you can work for bosses, eh? But you think, oh my God, I know so much more. This boss has got no clue. But even then, we're still called to treat them with respect and with honor. It all becomes about making decisions based on my own survival or pride. Honor falls apart because self becomes the ultimate authority, not the king. King Saul and David showed this tension very powerfully. Saul lacked the fear of the Lord. He feared the people more than he feared God. Because he said, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. I gave in to their demands. His leadership was full of self-preservation. He disobeyed God to protect his position, his reputation, and his control. And look what happened. He dishonored God. He lost the kingdom. The same would have been true for Noah's son, Ham. He saw his father's nakedness. And look what happened to the descendants of Ham. They didn't get the full blessings of the father. They got a curse instead. Look what happened to Reuben, who disrespected his father and slept with his father's wife. Look what was said in the scriptures about them when they didn't show honor. So when we think that we are going to get away with stuff and not be honorable, it will cost you in the end. When we think we don't, you know, the relationship will break down. When we don't show the proper love, respect, care for others, when we don't, it's like an umbrella. Covering is so important in our lives because your parents are your first line of protection. They are the strong man in your house. Just like if a thief came to our house, he's not looking to outgun Pastor Onami. It'll be a cakewalk, you know what I mean, for him to do that. But it's so much, he'll be coming for me because he knows that once I got him, well, I got the whole house. Everybody is, it's curtains for everybody. But that's all I'm trying to explain about the importance of covering in our lives and how honor will open doors for you in your life. And I say this to our young kids because we love them all in here. When you honor, it will open doors for you that you have no idea. So when your friends, when you should be leading people to do the right thing, because honor will open doors for you. David feared the Lord deeply. When Saul was trying to kill him, David refused to harm Saul. And guess what? Even David's men said, hey, this is your best opportunity to take him out. But he says, I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed. David had every natural reason to attack, self-preservation. But his fear of God restrained him and he honored Saul's position because he feared the God who appointed Saul. David's honor wasn't about Saul deserving the honor. It was about God deserving it. David's fear of the Lord made him honor even a flawed leader. Saul's self-preservation made him dishonor God and others. We should have, I'll get the band, the team back up. We need to have a posture of honor in our lives. Honor is revealed by the posture of your heart, not just the profession of your mouth. And I wonder if we can stand this morning. No, it's afternoon now, apologies. If people were to observe your life, would they see evidence that you truly fear and honor the Lord? If people were to observe your life, would they see evidence that you truly fear and honor the Lord? Would your actions confirm the posture of your heart, or contradict the words you speak. This is exactly what God warned when he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's possible to say all the right words, but without the fear of the Lord in your heart, true honor is missing. Honor, it's a posture, not just a profession. It's not about saying, well, this person does not deserve this. And I've put out, some slides, little handouts. And I would ask that you would, they say that experience is the best teacher. But we know that can't be true. Because people make the same mistakes over and over again. So that tells me that it's not just about experience being the best teacher. It's about evaluated experience becomes the best teacher. So when I take the time to review and reflect upon my life and learn how did I make this mistake before, what can I do to avoid it? When I evaluate it, then experience becomes my teacher. I wonder, do we consider God or Jesus as King in our lives? Now, to honor someone is to show them value, respect them, because you esteem them because of their role. Do we reverence the Lord Jesus Christ or just treat him as ordinary? And I know there's a reason why everybody stands when they worship. But if you look at how it was done in Revelation, each time that they showed the Lord in Revelation, especially Revelation chapter 5, it's always the 24 elders and the how many beings? 4 living beings. Another Bible study. Their posture was always of reverence and awe. It says that they would fall down and worship because they looked at the Lord in awe. And I wonder, that has to be the posture of our heart. God wants us to not just be those who honor, say things with our lips, but our hearts are far from it. That shouldn't be the case for our lives. So this morning, there is a call for all of us to have honor as a posture of our hearts. And the call to honor is for everybody. No one is excluded. Fathers, mothers, wives, husbands, children, workers, masters, everybody, there is a call to honor. And I wonder today, are we going to be those that will honor the call of God of our lives? Imagine what our families, imagine what our communities, our schools would be like if there was a culture of honor. Because we know that when we live with a culture of honor, it brings reward in our lives. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for your people, that you are calling us, Lord, to have a posture of honor. A posture of honor. And Lord, our lives and our families, our work environments, Lord God, would be so much different because of honor in our lives. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. I pray, Father, that you, Lord God, as we fear you, let the fear of God come upon us, that you watch over everything, Lord God, that we would show deep, deep levels of honor, Lord God, to all those that are around us in all our relationships. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would bless your people in all that they do, that there would be a reverence for you in our lives. You know, when we approach a king, when you approach a queen, let's just say a queen, approach the queen here, and I approach the queen and I have to do what? I bow, your majesty. And then she puts out her hand and then I kiss the ring. But there is an awe that is taught. You know that I can still bow before the queen and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a terrible queen in my heart. But I'm still showing the outward expression of what? Of honor. But God is not calling us to that. He's saying, because I recognize that she is the queen, my heart, when I'm bowing to the queen, even my heart is bowing. When we approach the Lord and we have awe for him, and so even when I come into the presence of the queen, I don't just sort of like say, thank you, queen. Oh, come on, queen. High five. I don't just high five the queen and then I turn my back on her and I walk. No. There is a protocol when it comes to engaging with royalty, that when I engage with the queen, I bow. The queen obviously knights me. And then after she's done that, I walk backwards. You never turn your back to the what? To the queen, because to royalty, because I esteem. This is the thing, this is an outward expression, but I wonder in our hearts if we can grow to have this thing where we give honor to the position because it is due. What would happen to our families? This is the same thing when we approach the Lord. We're not just like, what's happening, Jesus? I mean, we can't do that, but there is has to be a fear in us that this is why those 24 elders and the four living beings, they fell down in worship and they threw their crowns, because they say, you are worthy to receive all praise and all honor because of what God has done for our lives. I wonder what our lives would be like if our posture, we have a posture of honor in our hearts. So Lord, I just pray for your people this morning that as they leave this place, they would recognize that you are calling them to have a posture of honor in their hearts, in Jesus' name. And as we finish, I just want to invite everybody in a prayer. Say, hey, after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me on the cross so that I could have eternal life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And today, I am a child of God. Amen.